If you're looking for professional help, look no further than RAM Accounting and Consulting. Corporate assurance tax services, accounting and consulting services specializing in small business and non-for-profit organizations, personal finance and tax accounting, GST preparation, audit preparation, AGLC compliance and reporting, payroll and compliance services. You can contact them on their website or you can phone them at 403-336-3640. Their website is ramaccounting.ca.
Welcome to the Business Life of Husband and Wife podcast.
A show based on real experiences in business and life.
Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 51.
We're so close.
Oh yeah, we're almost there. You guys have listened now to 49 and 50 and you're on 51, which means tomorrow when you listen, you get number 52. We are cramming our episodes in this week for you at the end of the year. Like we said, we wanted to do 52. We're going to hit 52 because that's what we do. We set goals and we have to execute on them. We had some incidents this year where we set goals and we didn't execute. And that's just not how...
It's not happening here.
That's not how Robin and I like to go about our life and our business. And so this is why we are making sure that they're going to be done for you guys. So you listening right now should be, well, on New Year's Eve, you're going to get the Q&A episode. But for those of you that listen to the show, you guys know the formats. For those of you that don't, here they are. We have our couples episodes. So that's where we interview couples in business who operate different organizations together and we get their ins and outs, all the bouts, kind of figure out what they do differently and maybe hopefully learn and everybody can learn a few things and different tips that can take away. And then our second format is...
We have different experts on the show. So that could be anything from accountants, marketing specialists, HR specialists, that type of thing. And this season, we're just focusing on the 101 of those topics. So the very basics, learning how we should structure companies, that type of thing. So, and then we have our third format, which is...
Our Q&A episode, which you guys can submit questions to Robin and I, top right corner of the website. You can email admin@businesslifeofhusbandandwife.ca, or you can DM us on our socials and we will select some questions and we answer those. You guys are going to get a few more of those episodes coming up in season two. You're also going to get a fourth format coming out in season two, which will be just Rob and I talking about different experiences that we're going through or have had, whether it was, we did this season, we had an Arete episode. So our experience of going down to the conference to Arete, and just what some of the speakers brought to the table and some things you guys can take away and just takeaways that we took. So when we do some of those events, our Crushing It 2023 event, we will have an episode about that, which is all going to be about financial literacy and deal structures and how to go outside of traditional lending to build up your business or expand. So that's coming in. And one last thing, our YouTube channel.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that's starting soon.
So that's going to be starting. So we will have our YouTube channel for season two up and running. We're going to have a little bit different with the experts. So you guys are going to get a little bit of whiteboard work. We'll be going over different formulas you can use for KPIs, for financial terms you might need for your EBITDA, different things. So we're going to have it all so you actually can visually take pictures of it or watch it live. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a little bit different formatting for season two. Heck yeah. But today... Because I'm rambling, we're already 3 minutes into the intro and I don't do that normally. So today we've got basically an expert in hiring, firing people, projects, overseeing business, managing businesses for lots of different years and different
managing
people. Managing people. He doesn't want to say it, but he's been doing it for years.
So welcome, Randy.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a little intro on how long have you been, like, you've been managing other people's businesses for how long now?
It's probably been about since I was, 24?
What are you now, 60?
Well, maybe, I mean, look 60, but screw you, buddy.
So everyone knows, me and Randy have known each other now for what? Almost 10 years,
oh, that, yeah.
10 years, play hockey together. So there'll be a little bit of banter going on.
It's an honest
it's an honest episode. And we're also having a whiskey together because it is the Christmas season. So here we go. Get some candidacy in there.
It's been everything that I've done since being out of school has been managing people. I started with, Max, now Circle K, they call them market managers, but I had, 105 locations that I looked after, moved on to Parkland Fuels, doing the same kind of thing in the convenience gas industry. Then due to layoffs from there, I went to the auto glass industry, which was a beast in itself here in Alberta. And then to where I am now in the, I never know how to explain this to people, but in the pet cremation business, where the company I work for, we're all over North America. So I'm looking after Pacific Northwest and Western Canada right now. And I've got 11 direct and close to 300 indirect reports.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's real fun. A lot
of management.
A lot of management and a lot of fun staffing.
A lot of things that go wrong and go well, though. There's both mm-hmm. ends of the spectrum, right? Well, you've taken, and you guys have expanded too, right? Since you started. How many facilities? You're at 11 that you're managing now?
Right now, yeah. When I started with this company just under 5 years ago, we were only at, I want to say, 50 locations across North America. And now we're up to just over 200, I think, last count that we finally have. It seems to change on a daily basis, which is, when you look at that growth, it's insane.
Yeah, and with growth comes hiccups.
100%. And that comes from our top down. I mean, that's the first thing we talk about in our yearly meetings is the challenges that with that growth comes with. And the biggest challenge at that point is now people, which is never going to go away and doesn't really...
Well, and that's the thing, right? So you need the people to operate, and now you're managing all like 11 of those 200 facilities, right? So you're hiring and firing, you're dealing with HR, you're dealing with all the different kind of corporate. It's a pretty big corporation now. It's
100%.
Huge corporate structure. So a lot of our listeners actually don't have that knowledge at all.
No.
And maybe we are trying to expand and build, you know, have 4, 6, 8 facilities or whatever we're trying to do. So that's going to be hugely nuanced for people listening and for me learning how to do that and take that next step. So that's why we're doing this episode. One is because you have that experience on what you deal with and what we're seeing in the workforce and what transitions is what we're going to be talking about, because we're seeing a shift now, mostly in like the amount of businesses that are starting to go recession based. So there's a lot of layoffs. There's a lot of more, it's gone from an employee based, basically run organization for the last 10 years and now it's an employer favor because there's more people looking for work because there's less jobs because we are kind of grinding down and we've been scaling up for 10 years. So this is why we're doing this is we've had it pretty easy for 10 years, really. As business owners, it's been a pretty easy ride since, well, even 2009 when the last recession kind of stopped. So we're going to get a huge transition in people and staff and how things are going to be like put in place and who stays and who doesn't in an organization. There's going to be some changes that we're not used to, especially like people like 30 younger that they've been in this job market for 10, 12 years and it hasn't been that difficult to take off.
There's always been jobs available. Yeah. And there's always been like other places to move. So people, rather than staying in positions for longer periods, are choosing to jump ship every couple of years. And I think that's going to start shifting as well.
Well, and you look at social media as well, right? I mean, you got your sites like LinkedIn and stuff like that now those jobs are readily available. You don't have to scour a job site for weeks, days, hours on end. It's now at your fingertips where you have 1,000 jobs right in front of you.
Well, and they set it up so that like, it actually like sends you emails when new jobs come up and like it triggers that you can be constantly looking for the grass is greener, which is like what we're talking to talk about too. Cause it's not, it's like, you know, jumping ship all the time in a relationship. Like it's not always going to be greener every time you jump ship. It's just a whole nother set of lessons. You don't need to be, you know what I mean? Like if you can take those lessons you're learning as you're going and progress within an organization, you're probably going to get paid for what you do at a higher level than someone who just jumps ship all the time.
Well,
you're never going to hit that value added to the company that where you get paid for what you actually do.
No, and that job market right now is people jump for 10 cents an hour because it's just that grass is greener. Oh, I'm going to make an extra 10 cents. Meanwhile, they don't look at the entire package, the company as a whole, which...
Growth strategies, what's happening. And I think that's just because we've got that, I call it 10-second TED mentality with like TikTok and everything now. It's like, every 6 seconds, things are switching. So we're not actually taking the time to like reflect. And you guys just listened to the episode about reflecting on your business and like intentionally thinking about what you're doing and why you're doing it. Now there has been that shift. We'll talk about that too with COVID, everyone's mindset, like, well, no, I need to do what's right for me and for this and for that. That's fine. But now we're going back to like the 80s, the 90s, where it's like, you need this job in order to pay for X, Y, and Z. It's not all about fun. And like, can I live this YOLO lifestyle, right?
That is the single biggest, excuse my language, fucking issue I have is these people that just, they're so used to staying at home that they come to work and they don't want to.
But they've been rewarded for staying home for
exactly.
2 years.
Yep, exactly. So now it's like, well, I need you to do this job. No, I think I'm good. I'm just going to.
I need to go.
I need to go. and then we're right back to square one of, and then, you know, I know we'll probably get into it, but then there's that whole cost of retraining, rehiring.
Yeah. So we're going to be definitely talking about how we can do that retention, company retention. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of dive in here. I want to read some stats out quick. Just because I've been doing kind of a rabbit hole dive on it, just to kind of find out some information so you guys have some tips. So it looks like employment rate in Canada, according to StatsCan, is 3.5%. Unemployment rate, sorry. It's going to 4.5% predicted for 2023. So that's a full percent on the working population. I didn't really check that stat out, but there's 33 million people in Canada. There's got to be 15 million that are at least, I would assume, half the population's in the working class. Robin's going to look it up right now. But
I was going to say, you're looking at me for that stat. Well, you told you right from the start. I didn't.
No research. Anyways, so you know what I mean? 1%, that's 150,000. So we're talking about the tech sector, which is its own animal because it's hugely cyclical, up and down with people hired and fired. Well, if a company called TechCrunch, if you know TechCrunch, they are actually tracking how many people have been laid off from these tech companies last year. 91,000 employees were let go from Amazon, Twitter, Facebook, and mostly just from subs. Like Amazon let go, I think it was 6,400 people just from their Alexa division. It's a failed division. So that's one thing that a lot of businesses like haven't had to deal with lately is I have this division that's not making money. I'm not going to lose money just to keep you around. It's a business. There's no emotion to it. We're trimming the fat. So this is starting to happen. It's starting to happen all across the board in a lot of industries. It wasn't just in the tech sector, but that's
where we see it first. Yeah.
Well, you're going to see it first because that's the most volume of high paying jobs right now. So that's what we're seeing. And I've got some things on the visualcapitalist.com that has like an entire stat on what layoffs were done when and how many. And it was mostly recently with Twitter. That was a big one, right? So we all know if you're
huge,
right? Have you been under a rock? So Twitter was losing $4 million a day when Elon bought it. That's why he was like, nope, it's just, we're trimming down. So that's what's going to start happening. There's not going to be these easy tasks and easy jobs every single day. Some days are going to be good and some days are going to be bad. So basically what I'm saying, guys, is we need to start looking at from a business side and from an employee side, that it's not going to be all, and being honest with our staff, it's not going to be this easy. So if you can handle it, get ready and just kind of laying it out on the line for them. So do you guys do that a little bit, Randy? Like you try to, you're like, look, this is kind of where we're at. These are our policies and procedures. It's going to get kind of tough on these things. Cause like you're dealing with people day to day, you're in a customer service base. So when you're training your people, do you see that? Like you guys are having to like almost start to structure it a little bit where you're like, it's not going to be easy all the time.
100%. We actually just did that this year. We had kind of a broad center procedures, that kind of thing. And we went, okay, the rate we're growing, we need to kind of go back to our basics and figure this out, which you're going to have those employees that, what do you mean? And you start holding them accountable to certain situations and they don't like it. but it's definitely needed. So we're definitely seeing that with our business is going right back to the basics and making sure that our I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and making sure that the staff is held accountable to everything. And it's very difficult because if you got 15 people in a location, you got 15 different personalities that are taking, and that's difficult for me because I come from the kind of the old school where you yell and scream, and the more you yell and scream at me, the more I'm going to do better and that kind of thing. And
that's a sports background too,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and that doesn't really work in today's workforce.
It doesn't work with the majority of people, unfortunately.
No, I can't just.
Unless right at the beginning when you're hiring all your staff or your first employees, you're like, we're going to run this like a sports team. Like there was a quote I was reading, and literally the guy was like, "We're running this organization like a sports organization. It's about execution. It's about this." And he had a whole list of like core values. This isn't going to be run like a regular corporation. And when he did it, he lost probably 60% of his team that just wasn't going to cut the mustard.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. And I when I'm managing these places, I'm like, okay, that, see you later. I'd rather get those people in and start right, that they know right when they come in that that's what we're going for.
It's a nice filter.
For sure. Well, absolutely.
We just talked about that too, about filtering out, like same with our, like episode 50, if you guys go back, we just talked about it with Robin about setting up your business to, you're not like weeding out clients, but like weeding out the ones based on my policies. Like this is how much money it's going to cost you to rent this piece of equipment. This is and it's all in writing. And if they don't sign the contract, they don't get the piece of equipment to rent. Very simple. You're just weeding out the people who aren't willing to pay or whatever. They just don't fit those values even as a client base.
For sure.
So it's the same with your employees that you guys are dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So well, and it's important that everyone on the same team has the same values, or at least they're working towards like the team's values or the business's values, because at the end of the day, that's what makes a business successful.
Absolutely. Right. The founder of our company, he always used a light switch analogy, which is that light switch is only going to not turn on a couple times before you go and switch who you're going to use to fix that light switch, which is, you know, is your team. You're only going to deal with that for so long before you make those changes so everyone is on the same page.
That's a great analogy.
I think that's 100%. Right? Yeah. The light switch analogy. I like that one. There's a sound bite for you to take. So from there, like you've got that light switch analogy, right? It's no different in any organization. It's all the same. Like we're talking about is like, we're actually, people are going to start having to not bring emotional baggage, lack of accountability, and other things to the job site. You're not going to be their therapist. You're there to execute on a job and be paid to do a job. That's what's going back. Like we're going back to that slowly. It is reverting a little bit because there will not be the sales generated from all these companies to pay. And the government can't print any more money. I'm sorry, guys, but it's almost unfeasible what's going on anyway.
Well, and then also down to the competition, like if you're not able to take accountability for those tasks at hand, there's someone next in line that's willing to do that.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen. Right. And we've already seen that, like with our like newer Canadians coming in, they're willing to take that job. Mm-hmm. And we already saw that, 10, 15 years ago. You can't. Nobody wants to do taxi services. Nobody wants to do.
I saw that in the convenience store industry. No one, you know, yeah. it was very difficult to hire someone local. So, you know, you go to I forget what they were called now because it's been so long, but bring in the foreign workers, right? Yeah. I mean, we had to because we didn't have a choice because no one wanted to, I guess, drop down to be that in that, you know, that unfortunately I'm not working at a convenience store. I'm not working in fast food. I'm above that, right?
Yeah, the ego that comes out.
Yeah.
And even when there's all these retention programs put in place by those organizations to grow within the company, like you might start out as a clerk and then move up to like assistant manager. Nobody wants to take those steps to move up and then into corporate, right? You see some people who still want to, but it's few and far between. And I think a lot of it is like, cause what we're seeing on social media, people are going out there and they're like, hey, you can make an extra $6,000 on the side. Bullshit. You can.
From the comfort of your own home and your
laptop.
In
2 hours a day. Like I'm seeing all this stuff out there. And I'm like, bullshit. There's no fucking way to put it like, politically incorrect. There's no fucking way. Like even day traders who are like really, really good day traders can't just like, oh, I'm going to clear this every day. No, they're going to take some hits. They're going to take some losses. It's not even realistic. And so everybody's seeing this and they're thinking they can be, you know, on YouTube or on social media and at home making money. Sorry, but not all of you look good on OnlyFans. Like let's just be realistic here. But it's the truth.
Maybe that's why my feet aren't selling very good.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a lack of realistic expectations in people's minds about what it takes to actually provide value to your life, to your business, and like retirement, all that stuff. There's a lack of expectation.
Because it's been too easy for the last 10 years because there's so many jobs available. There's more jobs than people.
Participation trophies.
I mean, that there's
that's
all
where
these
it started.
There's all these topics that go along with it.
1992. Yep. 1992.
But there's all these things, these precursors of little things where you're seeing it, and some businesses are going to accept it, and then all of a sudden what happens is they switch. Like Disney just did it. Disney went all this way with, they had these huge, and then they hired their old CEO back, and he went and he cut a whole bunch of stuff back again. So this is what's happening, is it's not going to be an easy ride for anybody.
Well, you spoke on Twitter. Look at Elon Musk, and when he fired, when, you know, all their staff was, you know, they had free lunches, free whatever they wanted. Elon comes in there and goes, no, if you want to bring a lunch or eat lunch, bring a lunch or pay for it on your own. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, it's, my life is horrible. It's like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Get back to work.
But that's the thing, is we've got this sense of entitlement now. Mm-hmm. And we can't have that. And especially as business owners, like we, that comes from, like, we have a sense of entitlement that, like, our people are going to execute. So on the other side of the spectrum, how do you as a manager go about, like, you know, this is what we need to do. And like, how do we tell and like bring these people along? Like what are some of the things that you guys do? Cause it's from our perspective, like we just, it's cut and dried, but it's really
setting
not
those expectations,
right? It's super nuanced. So what we're talking about is very cut and dried right now, but there is a huge nuance too. There is that level that you have to be able to talk to people and bring them in, and leadership and bringing them up to that level, and how you do that.
And that's been my biggest learning in the last probably 5-6 years is how to, cause like I said, I grew up with someone's not doing the job. You walk up to them and it's, do your fucking job, please.
Yeah.
where if now, if I was to say that, that person is going to, yeah, basically give me the finger, walk out and say, screw you. And now we have litigation and that kind of thing. So my biggest learnings the last 5 years has been how to get the most of those people, because it's, especially nowadays, it's definitely not easy. One word can make that spiral. And it's been a very, very steep learning curve for me. And it's obviously different when you have an HR department that calls you on a weekly basis. But I'm not that bad. Just kidding. But we talked about it before doing the podcast, is when you have contract workers to, you know, team members, it's a completely different and a whole other bag of worms.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I don't even know what the right answer is nowadays of how to get the most out of people, because it's literally a one by one. Before it was to have a team meeting. Right. And the team would collectively, hopefully, have those leaders that would show up and just lead by their natural abilities. Whereas now you don't have that.
Yeah. And I feel like even like the leadership aspect of leading by example isn't the same. Like people don't really fall, because you're working like a psycho. Other people are like, well, I'm going to let him do it. You know what I mean? It's that, it's almost that, like that road worker government thing that you see, mm-hmm, sometimes where the one guy's shoveling, there's those jokes all the time, and the other four stand and watch and him dig the hole or
there's
shovel.
There's a statistic about this that Jordan Peterson always says, that 30% of the workforce does 50% of the work.
Mm-hmm. 100, isn't it? 30% does 100%.
The mentality's changed.
I'm
going to
look it up.
If I put it this way, when I was, you know, working the sports store here in Okotoks, and I saw the owner, manager, whatever, working harder than I was there to prove to, I was going to work harder, because that's how, in my eyes, that's how you grow. Whereas it's changed to, well, that's his job as a manager to fill in the shit that I missed or I don't want to do. So I'll let him deal with it.
Do you find that people don't really want to take over your job? You know what I mean? Like it used to be like,
they want it because they think it's easy.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? That's the thing. But like they used to be like, you used to have someone like, you know, they were chewing at your heels, mm-hmm, to come up and like take your position.
And that's how I manage, is I want that because it makes my job easier. If I train all my managers to take my job, then I'm sitting back going, holy shit, my feet are up on the desk. I can, you know, I'm obviously not, but now it's, you're trying to get these people to take on to do that. And it's like, well, I just want your job. Okay. What are you going to do for it? No, I just want it. It looks easy. And but they will not.
Which is kudos to you though. You clearly make it look very easy.
Well, yeah.
And I'm just going to circle back to that statistic. It's 20% of the employees do 80% of the work.
Which that's been normal for a long time, right? You see that pretty much in a lot. But those are the guys that want to move up.
Yeah.
And those are the people that organizations are starting to look for, is people with value, not values, but value, that bring value to the company, because they're the ones that well, I'm going to pay you well because you provide value to the client, to the business, and you're going to continue to move up and take over certain aspects as we expand. Another thing that business owners don't do is we don't put our vision out there properly, though. I think a lot of us struggle to like explain our vision to the people that work with us and be like, this is where we're trying to hit. These are the things that we need everybody to be doing in order for that level of execution to be hit so that you all get this amount, or because there's got to be some proverbial carrot nowadays.
And I think it's the constant communication of that vision, like not just at a single time. It's the constant and reiteration of everything.
But it goes hand in hand because you guys, you know, myself, you guys are, you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth just to get orders out the door, to get your production up. You don't have time to keep meeting with staff to go over there. You just don't have the time. You're already run off your feet. And I'm guilty of that too, is every so often I got to catch myself and go, okay, you know what? I got to get my team together and talk about this because, you know, the day to day. Something's not working, but the day to day is just so busy. It's tough to stay on top of that.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Two Birds Furniture, your home of modern rustic, specializing in reclaimed wood projects since 2013. Shop online at www.twobirdsfurniture.ca. So one thing I like to like want to talk about is like, we're trying to talk about bringing value, like people of value into the organization that like want to add value. So how do people, one, managers, like make their staff feel like they're valued? And two, how do people like showcase that value to you that they're worth putting the money into, the training, the extra time and whatever it might be? Like what can people bring to the table too? Because there's one from our side and then one from the an employee side. Like when you want to bring value to your employer because you're trying to strive to make whether it's more money for your family, a better career, you want to have a higher pension, you want to retire earlier, whatever your goal might be in your life, or you want to be able to spend more time with your family down the road once you've like banked enough, like that kind of stuff. How do we get people, and how do you guys go about it, like to get people to like start to strive for that value? Like what do you guys implement? Do you have like some like different reward systems or like?
We don't really have a reward system other than, you know, facility to facility. Like my managers will do what they want to do inside the facility, and I give them carte blanche to kind of obviously to within reason, whether it's gift cards for staff, whether it's, you know, buying them lunch, whatever it is. Like I'm a huge part of that. I think that goes a long way, which, you know, again, those team members will, the ones that want to do it and want to work hard will embrace that and go, hey, they actually care about me. And the other ones who are in it just for money go, I don't want that. I want a raise. Cause they don't understand the economics of a bottom line, but, I don't know the answer to that. I really don't.
Do you explain the bottom line to your people? I know like it's a tough thing to do because you don't really want to like scare them off. Like we're talking about recession, which is like super scary and people are going to get scared off a little bit, but you got to tell like the honesty factor. You got to be like, hey, reality of situation is this is the amount of dollars coming in. This is the amount going out. If you don't hit these and we don't produce, none of you have jobs. Like that's sometimes reality of real business. And like the oil and gas industry is famous for hiring and then letting go, hiring, and then they're really on the peaks and valleys of doing that. I don't think we're used to that, most people in general. And that's coming because there's going to be some peaks and valleys, and they're actually going to be a lot steeper than what we were used to in all the little downturns. Like we're going to have this big downturn, and then all of a sudden there's going to be something that's going to spike again.
There's also a danger in, like, especially from from say Two Birds to the company I work with, there's a danger in me showing those bottom line numbers to the frontline employees, because all of a sudden they go, what do you mean? You guys just made $5 million and you're not willing to give me the raise I want. And it's really hard to go to them and say, it's because you're a shitty employee that you're not getting a raise. This has nothing to do with our bottom line.
Well, and also, and a frontline employee wouldn't have the understanding of you showing them all of these numbers and be able to come to the conclusion by themselves.
So that's what I'm saying. So what information do you provide? Like what's something people can take away? They're like, you know what? If I do this, I'm going to, you know, kind of start to move my way up the organization. Like there's definitely like KPIs, like we talk about your performance indicators and you do your, you go through all with your staff. You do their, is it quarterly or yearly?
We do semi-annual reviews.
Semi-annual reviews. So you do the reviews and that sets the expectation for them moving forward, right?
And that one in the middle of the year is definitely a deciding factor because it's usually a big fuck you, I'm out of here, because again, well, what do you want me to do? Give you a great review, even though you're terrible. And the nice thing about those reviews is it's good for the staff that want to work for it, because if there's something they're not doing right or whatever, you can make sure that changed by the end of the year. And then you got the other staff that just take that and go negative and like, you know, sadly deep depression because they got your job. You're doing satisfactory work, which to me is you're doing your job, just you're not going above and beyond. And they take that as a, oh, well, I'm a crappy employee, so why don't you just fire me? It's like, oh my God, what is happening right now?
And I think there's that's that mentality shift that the people don't want to strive for the next
excellence.
You know, like you used to get told, hey, you know what you can go work on? This, and this is same as sports. This is what you get to go work on if you want to make the AAA team or you want to go this level. You need to go in the off season on your own time and figure out how to do this.
Constructive criticism.
And it's like, well, you're bashing me now. It's not no.
You're being mean.
We're telling you these are like, this is what you're good at, but this is what you really suck at, and this is what you need to figure out. All business owners have to do that.
Absolutely.
We all got to go back and be like, hey, we didn't do any of these things right. Now we got to go through and re-implement new procedures or go and fix some policies that we didn't implement correctly or we didn't execute right on. Right. And that's the same for managers. Like it goes all the way back down to you guys from business owners to managers to be like, these are the things that now we got to implement that to our team. But people don't want to hear that.
And I think it, again, go back to social media side of it is people just, you know, you hear all the time, they wait for that phone to ding before they act on anything because that, whatever they're searching for, whatever they're looking at, whatever there's, you know, that's what is giving them the direction. Whereas before you would just, oh, the floor's dirty. I'm going to go grab a mop and clean it. Now it's, oh, the floor's dirty. And they look at you with this dumbfounded look, like, and? Well, grab a fucking mop and clean it.
Yeah, they look, it's almost like they're over-directed, looking for over-direction. And it's like, at the end of the day, the company is not there to babysit you. It's there to provide for you, provide a life for you, and help you grow into that. But you have to be willing to jump in and take those extra steps to prove that you have, again, some sort of value moving forward. And that's what's going to come.
And that's the difficult part is we, as in like in my position, I have to babysit them. Which is hard for me, right? Because I empower my staff. I'm not a micromanager whatsoever, and I hate doing it. But in today's world, it's you have to train to babysit them. Like you have to train your brain that you have to babysit them. And it came out when I coached junior B hockey and coming into the dressing room after an intermission, our team play like crap, and the guys are on their phones, and I'm like, you know, put your phones away. We're in the middle of a fucking game here, and I got. You know, the president of the hockey club is like, hey, you need to learn to coach around them having their phones because that's the reality, right? Just like teachers have to learn to teach around their phones because what are you going to take 31 phones out of the classroom or
yes.
You know, 100%.
But stick them in a bin at the beginning.
100%. Right? But that's the reality is everyone takes direction from that phone. They don't know how to take direction from anybody else. Whether that is that influencer that they see is making $1 million, that's COVID, what they want.
Like I think people being at home for 2 years got really accustomed just like having a Zoom call and you don't actually have to pay attention or be even on the microphone.
You don't even have to wear pants.
Yeah, you don't have to present any sort of anything to anybody other than the manager's telling you, hey, this is what you need to go do. And you're like, oh, I can just do that from home.
Yeah, we have something monitoring here that your mouse is moving and that's about it.
Right. Absolutely. So there was a lack of accountability for a long time. And it's, well, I said it, like we said at the beginning, it's been too easy for too long.
Yep.
Right. And now when we're going into a recession and like, basically your businesses are like, they're not going to have the same revenue generation. Like it's just not going to happen because one, inflation is causing people to tighten purse strings. So any kind of business is going to have less clients. So you're going to be better as a business owner at making sure that your staff treats your clients like 100% top notch. And two, you're going to have to be a hell of a lot better at managing the finances going in and out. And if you're not providing that value, you're not going to have a freaking job or a business. If you're a business owner, like if you're not willing to go back then and do the boring stuff and like jump back in and like help out at the end of the day, like you can't just sit in your office with your feet up.
I think that's what the companies that came through COVID, especially the small businesses, those were the ones that took that initiative. Okay, hey, I have to lay you off because of this and then this. Once we start growing again, you know, I'll bring you back. And they just had to go in and get their hands dirty and boots on the ground and actually do it again. And I think that's because people aren't willing to do that. They think again, entrepreneurship is easy, right? Oh, I know how to make furniture. This is easy for me. but they don't understand, which is, you know, you listen to your podcast. I mean, it's great because it's all that information of what it actually entails, right? But it still, people come out of school and go, well, I can do whatever the hell I want. It's all easy. It's like, well, the fuck it is.
Well, and that's the big thing is, well, even like for me, coming out of high school is easy. And this was 15 years ago now. It was easy. University, I got like a 1.6 GPA my first year because it wasn't easy. The profs don't give two shits about you. You show up, if you don't do good enough, tough. And that's like a huge thing that's switching in school is they went to like, oh, we'll just pass you through. That's going to have to end real quick because when you get to the real world in business and you're like, well, I just don't want to. I don't know how. Tough.
Yep.
Like the real world isn't as nice.
Well, my mom will call in. It'll be fine.
You know what? You get these stories of stuff. And like we got so many different people we talked with these stories of like we'll just tell one that's hilarious. There was a kid who worked for an organization, broke up with his girlfriend. He called the owner and he called in sad. Couldn't come to work because he was too sad. Well, this is where the switch is going to come. Tough for you. You won't have a job tomorrow because sadness doesn't really dictate your ability to work.
I'll keep my mouth shut on that one. That's where my passive aggressiveness would come out very.
Right. So, but that's just a few things, but there's some things I kind of want to talk about just a little bit here. So there's some stats I've been reading. So there's different jobs that are going to be most affected by this, because there's downturns coming. We're seeing it. You already know. Everyone can feel it. So whether you want to admit it or not, things are going to switch. And so there's some jobs that are going to be are most affected, right? So there's the top five that I read, and one is tourism because people don't have disposable income. Two is entertainment. So you're going to see a lot less people being able to afford to go sit in the lower bowl of the Flames game. They might be able to go to the Oilers. So maybe the Oilers can do some marketing, get $10 tickets out. And there's avenues for these entertainment companies, but you're not going to have the revenue. So how are you going to have the experience to put on a performance basically? Cause it's an entertainment source. And you're not going to be able to have the same kind of quality that people are used to.
For sure.
So that's another one. Human resources seems to always like, they cut the fat there. First things first. It's always number three or two or three on every list I read.
And I'm gladly okay with that.
At the end of the day though, like.
You need them.
You need them.
Yeah, you do.
But you don't need as many as are hired. Like a lot of times, like you can have one or two in an organization. They can manage a large volume of people. It's just people aren't willing to take that workload on anymore. They're like, well, I can only handle like five people a day.
Well, absolutely.
That's not true. You know, 20 years ago, someone was handling 100. Like, I think you'll be fine. Real estate's another one in that industry. And that's we're seeing that already. There's starting to be a dip. Even house prices I've been watching are starting to come down a bit. And then construction. And that's what we're in. So we're going through this little transition in our business because we damn well know what's coming. We've had 2 years of like, it's been chaos. As hard as you can go, people in, people out, as fast as you can produce product. It's not going to be like that because one, they've already built how many, like so many houses, they can't keep building them, right? There's so much no vacancy. So they're still trying to build, but there's no money when you look at like the differences in interest rates.
For sure.
So again, you go from 2 point, whatever it was, to 6.5. Well, that's a big jump. So there's not going to be as much disposable income for people to be spending. So you need to like everyone listening needs to button up how they're going to approach the next year in their, whether it's cash flow projections, all sorts of that kind of stuff that you're looking at to make your budget for the next year, because you're not going to be able to just like, I'm going to outsource this, outsource that, have this person do this. You're going to have to step back in and probably bite the bullet. Now I'm not saying downsize. I'm saying step back in, reanalyze your procedures, your policies, who you have in place, and maybe bring in people who can execute at a higher level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
the only problem with that is that's a fine line of bringing higher level and what that does to your bottom line, because those higher level employees are going to cost you more.
You're right. But if they can execute more and they can take 100%. On two, then you're going to balance that out. Hopefully. Otherwise your training programs have to be mm-hmm. next level. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be basically like McDonald's
for sure.
Where it's like, you know, boom, here's the employee manual. Here's how you make a Big Mac. Here's all the, like everything's laid out and it's, to a T, right?
To a T, yep.
So that's what you're going to have to start doing, especially small business.
For sure.
Like you're really going to have to button that up. So that was one thing I wanted to touch on. There's a lot of these like industries that are going to start getting hit and we're not ready for it from a employee perspective or from an employer perspective because we never had to deal with it. Because how many businesses have been operational for over 10 years? Like small businesses. Like there's not a whole ton that have seen 2008 that have seen, you know, there's some business that's been around for that, but they haven't actually seen that transition.
I mean, you look at, you know, Rob and I both grew up in Okotoks. You've seen that transition where there's very few of those businesses that were in town are still here.
You can count them on one hand.
Yeah, if any.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's the thing. Like there's not as many. So they come and go and there's ebbs and flows. But if you want to last, you're going to have to do some of the stuff that you're not normally willing to take on and kind of take a step back to take two steps forward.
For sure.
Because that's going to hit you hard. So what are, like, I got a whole bunch of different things I kind of wanted to touch on. I got so much information.
Well, this is a topic that you could probably spend two or three episodes on because yeah, right. there is
just,
a ton of it.
There's a rabbit. There's so much information and so many rabbit holes you can go down on it, right? So we've talked about how to strengthen your business when things start to go south from an employee. So you're making your customers a priority. You got to analyze your marketing strategies. So how much money are you putting out? What's your actual like return on that marketing and your sales strategies? All that's going to have to tweak. Are you going online? Like you already saw the pivot with a lot of people go online and there's a lot of people staying at home and shopping, but people are getting bored just like shopping. Mm-hmm. Like the endorphin rush is starting to wear off. You know, you're like, oh, I got this new thing. 2 hours cool. later, it's not that cool. So we're starting, that's the other issue is we're buying so much stuff and we're getting so access to information and things that we want that working for it doesn't seem like there's no, like, remember back, like, I don't know about you guys, but remember back in the day, you're like, you had your piggy bank and you're just like, oh man, if I can just save up to get like a, whatever it was, like
a Sears catalog,
just to order out of it. There was always that like willingness to like work to get to something that you wanted to buy. Well, now
but
it's
the
just
value
like,
in that product when you finally got it, though, like you treated that product with gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because of the hours that it took to save.
There was also not available credit, right? I mean, now you come out of high school and you can get a credit card and all of a sudden within the first day you've got it maxed and it's going, oh, well, it's like, well, you realize that it's going to take you 25 years to pay that off because.
Yeah.
And they just, because there's no knowledge of it. So.
So that's one of those things, right? So anyways, I'm kind of getting off topic. So the marketing strategies, you got your managerial staff. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to figure out who's actually operating at a high level in your managerial staff, mm-hmm. especially from a corporate, even from a small business. Like if you got a manager in place and you're not hitting your sales targets every month, there's something either wrong with your marketing or your staff isn't actually executing on the procedures and policies. So you got to really evaluate that. And that's what a lot of big businesses are doing right now, which we talked about earlier. And then you're going to have to be innovative. You're going to have to start developing some more innovative ways to generate revenue in order to, one, keep the people that you really like, because you really don't want to lose the people that are really good.
No, that's the biggest struggle.
Right? So you've got to be innovative, one, to keep them interested, two, to keep them motivated to keep pushing themselves, and then you got to have a reward system in place for them too. So that when they hit those, that's why a lot of sales guys, like there's those proverbial targets. You sell this much, here's your bonus. You sell this much, here's your bonus. And it's like number of accounts sold. That's a big one. And being able to figure out how to be innovative on that aspect, but putting that onto your like lower down the totem pole, like your team members that are on the front line. How do you do that? Like, that's a big one, right? There's things that we can start looking at completely differently, like bringing in strategy from a sales perspective to the front line and how you can, like, you know what I mean?
You're not wrong. Yeah. There's always that disconnect because sales has that instant gratitude, right? Yeah. In operations, you don't get that, right? You get out a table, you get out a barn door, you get out whatever it is. The sales is getting the joy of that because they're the ones getting the feedback from the client, right? I don't know what that answer is. I think it goes back to
the case by case, though.
100%.
Right.
Well, and I think that seems to be the biggest thing. And that's the biggest time waster, though, is like everybody wants a case by case.
Well, and the problem is you don't get positive feedback is nil, right?
It's rare, very.
Right. So you don't, unless someone comes to and tells you that, hey, you know, Robin did a great job today. Can you please pass it on to her? You get that, what, 3-4 times a year, maybe 5 times a year, but something goes wrong.
You hear about it immediately.
And it's boom. There's a Google review, Facebook review, and now you're going to, you know, you have to now discipline that employee instead of. So it's definitely
there's a societal issue there, though. There's definitely something with the sociology society that everybody's, it's the negative. They're okay complaining, but they're not okay giving like positive feedback, right?
But as managers, you have to consciously make that effort to, like, I do it all the time whenever I walk to my facilities and I see someone that's kind of just going above and beyond. It could be as quick as a $25 gift card, right? Just saying, yeah. Hey, I notice you were working hard, whatever. And it's silent, but you see them walk away and it's like, oh.
Somebody right? noticed.
But you have to do that consciously because we're so busy and so focused on the negatives that it's very, very difficult to see the positives.
I think a lot of us forget to do that too. Like, 'cause we do see our team doing something. You're like, man, like, fuck yeah, good for you. Mm-hmm. And then you just don't take the 2 seconds to go over.
Five minutes later, there's a problem that arose and now that good thing is now forgotten, right?
Yeah. And that's the key, I think, right there for everybody. Like, that might be the biggest key is recognizing performance.
And it could be as easily as bringing in a lunch for your staff.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? I'll buy you lunch today. You guys have been working your ass off this week. Let me buy lunch. Let me buy dinner, whatever it is. It could be as easy as that to just that, because people have that need to feel fulfilled now, right? Because like you mentioned on social media, everyone is so, oh, I want to be like that person. I want, like, there's that need to feel wanted. So something simple is all it takes, but you have to remember to do it.
Well, and that comes down to us going into I want to touch on the retention. So how is that like going? Like, I know it's not ideal for every business you talk to is going through like employees, like nobody's business. There's just transition, transition, transition. And we talked about it earlier, but like keeping those people, that's one thing you can do. Like, that's just a little thing. And that's just like being positive, coming in and like giving a fist bump, like nice work. Like, here's a card for.
Sadly, we moved to it's all monetary.
We have.
Right. It's I want that 10 cents extra or 25 cents extra an hour. That's what it's come down to, unfortunately. And I it's a case by case basis on that retention, because what works for me is just being like, I don't need to be recognized for the hard work I do, but it goes a long way. If you were to walk by and just, you know, give me a pat in the back saying, hey, great job. Thank you so much. That's all I need, right? That I don't need anything else. And that'll make me strive to be better for that company.
So that's just coming down to meeting with your staff and making sure you understand those personalities.
Absolutely. And that's why I tell my managers all the time is you need to have regular one-on-one meetings with your staff. Just ask them how their life is, obviously corporate world, you can't get into the deeps because then there's an HR issues, but just simply asking where they are. Again, it gives them that feeling of they feel cared for. They feel like they're wanted. If you spend that time to spend a 5-minute, 10-minute meeting, just asking how are things, take business away from it. Just ask how are things, right? You get to know a lot. Like, maybe they're, a parent passed away. So now you know what? I'm going to go out and get them a card or whatever it is. Your staff will really start to, I think, be a little more loyal to you when they get to know you and it's very hard to do that on a personal basis. It really is because there's that borderline of.
Yeah, you can draw the line.
Yep. But I think it's definitely important for retention purposes of getting to know, like taking the time. And again, everyone gets busy, so it's very difficult to do that. But taking the time to get to know your staff, your team members, your clients.
That's just a matter of scheduling. Like, we talked about this again a few episodes back on scheduling with yourself, like physically as a manager, as a business owner, being like, I need to schedule. I schedule everything else, schedule meetings, schedule flights, schedule this, schedule that. Why don't I schedule an hour a day just to like meet with my team?
100%.
Or an hour a week or half an hour, whatever it is, pre-schedule that. Is that?
I block an hour off a day just for myself. Because I'm getting so many phone calls, emails, text messages a day. I block that hour off so I can focus on answering what I need to answer. So you're absolutely right. Why couldn't I do that almost poured a glass all over the place. I do that with my managers though, is once a week I have a running scheduled, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 10 minutes. It's scheduled for an hour, but sometimes that meeting is 5 minutes because everything's going good, right? So it's just a, hey, good, just check in. But I made sure to schedule because, again, I get busy and I forget to reach out because I'm scattered across, you know, 2 provinces and 4 states. It's hard for me to get to them on a regular basis. So I scheduled those to make sure and it could change, right? It's simple. Hey, Randy, I can't make that call right now. Can we move it to tomorrow? No problem. It's just that's my reminder to make sure I meet with that staff. And, you know, I think it works because my retention is I haven't lost anyone in 5 years. I've only promoted, which is good.
Yeah.
But it's a small thing that I think, again, just makes them feel supported, I guess is the best word to put it, is that support. People feel they need to feel supported. And if they do that, I think that retention is a little bit higher than the day-to-day of just, yeah, whatever you want to do, see you later. And then you forget about them, right? Because now they're just going to go, they're going to move for that 25 cents an hour. And the old adage, right? People leave their managers, not their job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's starting to change a little bit because of the dollar value. But I still think there's a truth in that statement.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is too, that people need to realize you don't have to like everybody you work with.
No, hell no.
Like you might.
I'll keep my mouth shut.
But in case. You don't have to. Like you can still have, and that's something we moved away from too, is you don't have to have 100% agreement on values, on whatever exactly. It doesn't really matter. As long as we're all moving in the same direction, it doesn't matter which way you go.
Of the company's values.
Of the company's values is one, but like personal values, they don't have to align.
I bet you if you talk to any championship sports team, again, that's all these analogies, I can guarantee you inside that dressing room, there is four or five different cliques, and they get together for dinners because they have to on the road, but they're going back to their hotel rooms, they're going back to their homes, and they're not hanging out with each other every day.
No.
At the rink, yes, or at the job, yes, so you get along at work, but there's no fucking way I'd hang out with half the people I work with. Well, that's not a bad thing. It's just, they're just not my people.
But you can still work with them and execute at a
100%.
Level. Right. And that's something that needs to be like said more and more, is like, you don't have to be like buddy, buddy. That's not reality. Like you're there to do a job. You're there to execute on that job. Whether you agree on how you're getting there, that's what you have to figure out. And then when you go home, you don't have to go hang out with one another or be super social. You can visit, you know, at the office if you want to or whatever, but you don't have to like everybody outside of work. You don't have to enjoy every. Mm. And the thing is we're so used to it. We have to enjoy everything. Mm. Yeah. But the hard stuff is what makes things when you pass that hard test, there's joy in that. When you succeed on something you failed and all of a sudden you jump forward and pass that failure, that's where you find the joy in what you're doing. Learning and oh, hey, you know what? I did mess this up, but this time I fucking rocked it.
Yep.
And I think that's where people need to get back to as a mentality from employers, employees, everything. It's not just, we're not going to sugarcoat and rainbow everything. It's just done. You can't do it.
And same comes with accountability when it comes to retention, is if you have some, and I've run into this with some of my facilities, if you have shitty employees and you're not holding them accountable, that grows like a cancer through that entire operation. Mm-hmm. And I learned that the hard way, just through my years of management, is okay, as much as I need to have this person because he has a pulse and I just need a person, I would much rather work 80 hours a week than have that person in there, because that has now created a massive problem throughout my entire. And again, you got those people that are loyal, that if they see you holding those people accountable, they'll be even more loyal to you because, okay, this person actually cares.
And they're going to step up too, because they're like, well, now this is my butt on the line too. I'm going to hold them accountable to the standards that are set within this organization. I think that's the key, is getting the buy-in and the retention. And then once those people are bought in and they love that kind of concept, whether they agree with you, like I said, outside of work, they love the concept of what the company's trying to do and like what standards it's holding, they're going to start holding other people's standards.
100%.
And that's just comes down to everybody taking the time to do it.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, like especially small business, we just get day to day and just get rocking and rolling and we forget about it all. Instead of stepping back, and we've talked about that now a couple times in the last 3 weeks on different episodes, just step back, reevaluate, reset.
Use your calendar
and move forward.
I mean, I don't own my own business, but I kind of do this in my own practices. Is month to month, I kind of go back to my basics of again, stepping back, blocking off that hour, 2 hours, stepping back to just, okay, I'm getting kind of squirrely here. I'm getting all over the map. I need to just reset. And then again, it could be a quick phone call to each manager, talk with each employee just to see what's working, what's not. And okay. Because it's very easy to start missing a bunch of that little shit.
Talk their anxieties down too. Cause like all of us deal with our own anxieties. We all do. Like when you go to work, you're like, oh man, like, I don't know how this is going to work today, or here we go. You know what I mean? And there's that like positive mentality. And then there's that like dread mentality, which is almost fear that we all have. And if you can take your own fear and not suppress it, but like channel it into something positive that your schedule, then utilize that to deal with your team. That's something that is like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It's so hard to work on. Like when you're getting worked up and you're not really sure why you're worked up, but you kind of know. And it's just like that whole step back, all of a sudden it's like a,
when we talked to meeting with staff earlier, and that's, again, it could help you out because you could be missing something on that production floor, on that sales floor, whatever it is, that you talk to that one staff member goes, oh, hey, did you know this was happening? And it's like, oh shit. And all of a sudden, you know, if you talk with them enough, you can hit that and bite it in the head before it even gets to a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, you go that day to day.
Inefficiencies, whatever it might be, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Like something's broken, but they're just living with it instead of telling you, right? Yep. On a piece of equipment. You're like, well, that cannot be broken.
Yeah.
Like we have to fix that now so you can operate at a higher level.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of managers and business owners don't do either. We forget to go backwards. Mm-hmm. You know, you get higher up and more people underneath you. You forget to go back onto the floor and see, and there's that show they did. Remember what it was, the
undercover boss?
Yep. Undercover boss. Yep. And that was like, they would have to go and like go back to the.
See, main. I love doing that. I absolutely love, I'll get in a van and go out with my drivers quite frequently. I'll go in on the production floor because they don't understand that you're watching and listening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right. But it shows leadership that you're willing to get your hands dirty, that kind of thing. But it's more for me so I can see what's happening day to day. Do I have to in my position? No. I've got managers that should be doing that. But I do it myself just strictly for that.
Well, your information.
Yeah, because I might have a shitty manager, but his numbers are great, right? Because he's able to kind of fudge him maybe a little bit. But underneath, you know, behind those closed doors, it's a shitty operation. And if I'm not aware of that, again,
you can't make the changes you need to keep everybody going.
Nope. You can't change what you don't know.
No. And it could be a massive issue. I let the manager go and all of a sudden I've got happier staff. And again, it comes back to retention. And the whole thing is just a giant circle, and it's communication and just being aware of what's going on in your business.
I think that's a great way to leave it off, guys.
Yeah.
That was a great little segue into the end. It was perfect.
Thank you so much, Randy.
Yeah. Nice.
You're a wealth of
knowledge. It's only been 52 episodes without... You know,
51. 51. We're on 51. Okay, guys, as always, thanks for listening. We appreciate you coming on, Randy, giving us some 2 cents on just the metrics and where things are kind of going and what you're kind of seeing too, and giving us some feedback on it. Cause it's different from a corporate side than it is from a small business side. Like we all have different, and we don't have near the employees to deal with and the retention and the different things. So it's good for us if we're trying to plan ahead and grow to understand now there's a huge overreaching metric and pictures of different things. And this is an episode to like scare anybody away, but it's like, it's reality and it's real life that this is happening and things are shifting. And we're all going to have to be better from a personal standpoint, from an employee standpoint and an employer standpoint.
From corporation to small business, the exact same principle, is just different scale.
100%. Mm-hmm. So thanks guys for listening. As always, you can catch us at businesslifehusbandwife.ca. Go check out the pod. If you like what you heard, share, like, and subscribe, help us keep growing. And we'll see you guys on episode 52.
Thank you so much, everyone.
As always, thanks for listening. Make sure to follow, share, and subscribe online. Check us out on all social medias at Business Life of Husband and Wife.